What happened? Your mic's not on? Is mine on? Mine's on. So, welcome to another illustrious episode of Brain Stew Wrestling, everybody. So, Hammy's got some difficulty, so I'm just going to blabber for a few while he fixes that issue. He'll give me the thumbs up when he's ready to go. But we had an interesting weekend in the wrestling world. The Payback pay-per-view was going on. So that was an interesting one, and we're going to get to that later. But
should we just do a reset? Yeah, that was the worst introduction ever because I had an artist come in here last night in the studio to record, and I just didn't plug in my microphone set up for today.
Fail. Someone just, a buddy of mine just texted me, he was listening, that the mic was definitely on.
Yeah. Anyhow, okay, we're here.
We are, yes. And, so, like I was saying, we had some, it was an interesting week in wrestling. I mean, we're going to be very heavy in the pay-per-view recap, but one recent news item, like, as of yesterday, so Ryback has been sent home due to his contract status. For those who don't know, that he's going to be off TV for a while until either they decide, screw it, there's going to be no contract made and he's going to become a free agent, or a new deal is signed. Now, Ryback made an interesting point, and that being the fact that he doesn't mind winning or losing. That's not what he cares about, because he loves his job. And listen, I'm not a Ryback defender by any means, but he's making a great point, and that's the guys who lose constantly should be paid as much at the same level as the guys who are winning constantly. And the point he brings up that...
So Zack Ryder should be paid the same as John Cena?
Well, here's the thing, though.
I'm going to play counteractive to this, to right, his
now,
argument.
Hold on. I think what he means, though, obviously not the Cenas or the Lesnars, the guys who've been the main guy for a while and are getting that kind of money, but he means, like, the guys who are at the same experience level as some of the guys who are losing.
Okay, so longevity in a company.
Yeah, like, it should be based on that.
Then wouldn't that mean that Ryback's been in WWE for quite some time, though?
Yeah, but Ryback's thing, though, is that, like, the difference in pay is going to be the fact that the guys who are winning are selling a lot more merch. So, like,
I guess,
like, John Cena made it, like, on top of his contract, John Cena's made an extra, what, like, $10 million in merch sales at this point?
Yeah, Cena merch still sells big, and God knows Ryback's merch sales don't sell at all.
And they did for a while, though.
They did, but, like, we're trying to compare Ryback with a John Cena as far as, like, longevity in the company and how long they've been in the company and whether they should be paid the same amount. I don't think so. I don't think they should.
No, because he puts things through. They do the same work, and they're basically getting less pay for doing what they're told to do.
John Cena does not job to Kalisto twice. I mean, I understand what you're saying. To Ryback's point, I do think that if you've been in WWE for quite some time and you're a veteran and you do the right thing and you put yeah, the right talent, like, over, I get that. I get his argument, but you're still Ryback, and for him.
But again, whose fault is that, though?
It could be a little bit of both. Is this Ryback's fault, or is it WWE's fault?
Because, I mean, let's be honest. Ryback is shitty in ring, and he's a liability. But
yeah, just ask Phil.
Yeah, we'll ask Philip on his podcast, on the podcast interview.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, he doesn't complain about jobbing to other wrestlers. Like, when have you ever heard of him complaining about jobbing?
I do not recall Ryback ever complaining.
Never had a complaint about that. He's never complained. He's jobbed the people that, let's face it, like, realistically shouldn't be able to beat a guy who is of his size. Let's face it. Even though, like, and yes, I get it, Butt Monkey, he stinks and injures people, That's my argument against Ryback. That's always been my argument against Ryback. I'm just saying, I get the point that he's making overall about the wrestling industry. Because the guys who lose more than they win also have like the worst job security of the bunch. Because what they'll do is once they call up people, then they'll just cut some of the ones who are on the lower rung. And then, you know, you kind of get pushed down gradually.
It's kind of like, you know, fall TV shows that are in the danger zone of being canceled.
Yeah.
Ryback is in that danger zone. And from the looks of it, he had a well-written statement. I understand exactly what he was trying to say, but his time in WWE has come to an end.
What he needs to do, because he's going to be gone from there. The best way for him to rebuild himself and then eventually get back there and stronger than he is now is go to New Japan. That's where he needs to go. Look at what it did for Tensai. Look at what it did for Luke Gallows. Look at what it did for AJ Styles. Like, that place is like a fountain of youth for wrestlers.
But just because they get over in New Japan doesn't mean they'll get over in WWE.
But
look what happened with Tensai when he came back.
Yeah,
I'm
not saying from an overness standpoint. I'm saying from like just a resurrecting your career standpoint.
Oh, so like if you still want to wrestle not in WWE, like you can still make a living wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay. To that point, yes.
He would be over as fuck in Japan. They're not like WWE where it's like, oh, the big guys are the ones that are marketable. No, like the Japanese like some of the freak show, like roided up guys as much as they like,
of course,
the amazing technical workers.
Butt Monkey in the chat room, if he goes to TNA, he is fucked.
Yeah.
Well, that's because TNA won't pay him because they can't afford to pay anybody.
Tensai beat TNA and still got shit on, but Tensai is now running their developmental.
Yeah. Tensai is helping Triple H run behind the scenes.
And you know what? I'll give him
He's a valuable asset to WWE. Yeah.
And I'm saying it's not what you do when you get back in WWE, but it's just your career is given credibility. Look at AJ Styles. When he left TNA, WWE wasn't offering him what he wanted money-wise. Goes to New Japan, wins the title there, like ups his stock even more.
Brings Bullet Club to NWO level status over there.
Then they sign him. Luke Gallows in WWE. First was Festus. Then kind of got a little bit of credibility as a member of the Straight Edge Society and then was just dumped.
Oh, yeah.
Had a stint in TNA because they just signed every guy. Like, TNA for a while was like that team that watches another football team's waiver wire and just scoops up the people they cut. But then again, goes to New Japan, teams with Carl Anderson, making bank in the U.S. now in WWE.
And then you saw on Monday Night Raw this past Monday, you had Styles, Gallows, and Anderson teaming up. Like, WWE fans who have just been like, you know, in the WWE bubble who don't know like how awesome that is, you may have gotten a taste of how good it can be. But us, like guys who have followed AJ Styles through his career, Bullet Club, Gallows, Anderson, all those guys, watching that match take place on Raw, just to see them team up against Reigns, was a moneymaker match on Raw. And bravo to the people behind the scenes that are finally, I think, realizing, wow, holy crap, we have some great talent here. We could do some amazing things with them. And now I think they're finally pulling the trigger of where they need to go, because after WrestleMania, leading up to Mania, what was pretty good.
Yeah,
the Raw after Mania, awesome show because it always is. But we're like, oh, it's gonna go back to its usual.
But
BS.
Then they had Shane running the show.
Yeah, then they had Shane quote running the show. And then the week after that, great show. Then the week after that, great show. This week it was. It wasn't great, but it was still a good, watchable Raw.
But Monkey brings up cruiserweights are coming back as well.
Yeah, you got to thank Triple H for that too.
That cruiserweight show is going to be fantastic. But there's so much.
WWE is embracing indie level talent now and working with the indie promotions to get to just give the talent a place where they can show their craft.
They're
so I applaud WWE and all of these indie promotions for working together for this.
They're scooping up indie talent like they're the kid playing Pokemon who takes gotta catch them all literally.
They absolutely are. I'm loving it. As a wrestling fan, WWE is now a watchable, enjoyable product again.
Now if they can scoop up some of the better writers in the indie scene and tell Vince to sit down and retire.
Or maybe let Paul Heyman write again.
Yeah.
But we all know how that ended with him and Vince.
So I'll skip ahead story-wise.
You mentioned Ryback. So I have video of Ryback's entrance from the Payback pre-show. I'm just going to play it cold. Just see what he does, because this was circulating all over the internet.
Yeah, it was.
Chicago is not a fan of Ryback.
Well, since
not at all.
To Kalisto at WrestleMania, Ryback has been
did a Goldberg impression here.
A victory at the expense of the United States and champion then himself.
And the fans
he gets
hate
another
him.
Shot at Old Glory tonight.
And victory for Ryback happened a couple weeks ago.
Ooh! In Chicago.
Guy has earned himself.
And the fans saw that real quick.
And then he's like, he's doing the clock thing as if the clock's not working.
United States Championship.
What a with a troll.
Going all the way back to
and that's you know what? I kind of became a Ryback fan after this.
Here's the thing. Like,
became the inaugural champion.
You see on his belt, by the way, it says the pre-show stopper.
Yeah. So here's the thing with Ryback. I'm not a fan of his in-ring work. He's a liability. I would have a better... Like, I'm going to go back to my days of doing the show Markout Radio. If Goofy Dark Fox had mentioned the trolling thing as his main argument for Ryback, I would have not laughed at him as hard. Because Ryback's one of the better trolls in WWE. The only one better at trolling than Ryback is Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens on Payback. I don't have a clip of this, but he was going on and on commentary, and I'm like,
I'm bumming because you're talking, Cole.
There was one meme that I saw someone posted of Owens wearing JBL's hat, and the caption says, "Kevin Owens looks like a creator wrestler as you're scrolling through the hat section." It made me laugh very hard.
Oh, man, the basic...
I love how assholery the internet is.
I love the fact that he shits on Cole the whole time, but he's very complimentary of JBL. Because I'm definitely better than Cole and Saxon. I'm... not as good as JBL. I would never be as good as JBL commentary. I still think they should get rid of Cole and Saxton on Raw. Like, switch them with, like, Mauro Ranallo and Corey Graves. That would be the best commentary team for Raw.
Corey Graves has become one of my favorite commentators, too.
His Twitter game is fantastic, too.
I love a good Twitter follower. You know, I didn't have Twitter for a while. I wanted to take a really long break from Twitter, but I'm all in with Twitter again, because I'm seeing a lot of hashtags pop up when I watch Raw, and man, the Twitter users are really creative and very funny.
Yeah, they are.
I'm enjoying Twitter again. But yeah, Ryback at Payback mocked CM Punk in CM Punk's hometown.
Yeah.
And, oh boy, it was met with a sea of boos.
All right, so going back to Corey Graves, because his Twitter, like, he'll say something like, "I'm convinced that Primo and Epico are never actually coming back. Their gig at the Puerto Rican Tourism Department looks lovely." It's true. At Drama King, WWE Drama King, or, you know, what's the name from the Vaudevillains? He's like, has been called the songbird of a generation. Exactly which generation? Not sure. And then he'll be like, "When you say oos, I say don't tell me what to do." Like, he's went hard, like trolling some people. Like, him and Becky Lynch had a Twitter exchange once every while, because he kept calling her like a poser. So, and she would just call him a hipster. It's fantastic, some of the stuff he does on Twitter. Not so much now, since he's now, like, on the main roster, but when he was in NXT, it was phenomenal.
Well, not as phenomenal as, you know, not to be the cheesy shoe in there, but the not as phenomenal as AJ Styles has been in his short time with WWE so far. He debuted in the Royal Rumble to a massive pop,
and still massive pop. Like, and by the way, here's
I'm going to see if I can pull that up real quick. Just to,
here's how popular AJ Styles and WWE has gotten. Stores like, all right, so I was at a mall a couple days ago, and I was like, let me see, because what I gauge by how well known the wrestler is if stores that carry WWE merchandise carry their merchandise. So on the, like, I went to a Hot Topic. Don't judge me. Eat a dick.
I'm already judging you.
But, like, again, though, what shirts they carry is a good gauge of what your average person who goes to a store like that is requesting for wrestlers. So you had, like, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, John Cena, like the usual, Brock Lesnar. And then somewhere in the middle there is the AJ Styles shirt.
By the way... I sold it as a huge pop. Just to show you, I'm not kidding. Huge pop
is an understatement for the reaction he got.
Here is AJ Styles' debut at the Royal Rumble, just this past January.
The best of the crowd not knowing at that time because. It's kind of fitting that the first person he had done anything in the ring with was Roman Reigns, too.
I just noticed that, too. Kind of full circle now with this rivalry.
Dude, AJ Styles has become a main eventer in 3 months.
He is having a great program with Roman Reigns right now. Their match at Payback, while I will get into the booking and the ending of that match momentarily, I thought the match was... Pretty damn awesome.
We'll get there, though.
We'll get there. We'll go more into that later, but first...
We'll get there, Michael Cole. We'll get there. So, all right. So, we'll go up to the next story, because we've talked about the indie wrestling scene. A team that WWE, I think, tried to sign pretty desperately, but ended up not signing, the Young Bucks. And... They gave a lot of reasons why they stuck with, like, they basically signed a deal with ROH, Ring of Honor. It was a deal that allowed them flexibility to still do New Japan, to still do Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. And what I like is the second comment, they're like, oh, yeah, we kind of consider ourselves like a punk rock tag team. They're like, we, you know, so we feel like going to a place exclusively, it's like selling out to the man. They were going to be, WWE could have signed them a few years ago, and they were some stupid BS reason, like they didn't respectfully shake Booker T's hand or something, which is the reason why they weren't signed in the first place. Like, they're missing out not having the Young Bucks on there. There's a couple tag teams that if they signed them, like Red Dragon.
Here's Nick Jackson on the free agency process. We knew that we were pretty hot when we started getting feelers out from pretty much every company that exists. So we pretty much said to ourselves, hey, let's accept an offer, because at this point in time, we were pretty burnt out doing the independent schedule. That was pretty much nuts. We were doing triple shots literally every weekend, flying out of Los Angeles Thursday night, getting home Monday morning. So it wasn't that much. So there wasn't that much time at home at all. So we figured, hey, let's sign somewhere where we can make some good money, but in the meantime, spend the time with our families. Yep. I don't blame them. If you want to make some great money, stay in one place and perform your craft, go for it.
But like they said too, Ring of Honor was like, hey, listen, we know New Japan's a big part of your thing. We know, like, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is. So, like, they're not going to just go to different all the independents, but, like, Ring of Honor and then the main ones, the other main ones, like PWG and New Japan, which I think it fantastic deal for them.
This shows you what kind of people Ring of Honor like to work for and with. Continuing, Nick Jackson, quote, I feel like we're not even under a deal because Ring of Honor is so good to us and we have so much freedom to express ourselves. So I still feel we are the same Young Bucks. I was afraid we were going to cool off, and if anything, I feel we've actually gotten even hotter, and I think it has to do with us having more time to put into our brand. Nick Jackson. And
smart.
Honestly,
like, very smart.
Ring of Honor could not be a more perfect place for the independent wrestlers to sign. Because here's the thing. I think Ring of Honor, if it's obviously not WWE. WWE is the New York Yankees. Let's be completely honest here. WWE,
they're the New York Yankees.
Throwback to CM Punk promo. Yep. Think of it as WWE is the major leagues. TNA is the sinking ship that everyone can see is sinking. Ring of Honor, if you're not wrestling for your mom and pop wrestling promotions, and you're just touring it and playing in high school gyms or whatever, making maybe $100 a night,
yeah,
and you want like good money, but you still want to feel like you're on the independent circuit, Ring of Honor. And especially if you don't want to sign with WWE and be real corporate, because let's be honest, if they signed with WWE, they would be extremely corporate, because Vince likes to rebrand a lot of people, and it's very rare that WWE lets a non-WWE created talent come in and keep most of their character traits. AJ Styles is the most recent one I can think of that when he signed with WWE, he made it clear with Vince, he's like, all right, I keep my name, I keep my finishing move, I keep my ring attire, I keep my character persona. I am me. I am the person that I grew up with, that I turn into with New Japan, TNA, and all that. I'm that same guy. You're not going to turn my character.
I don't think they had a problem with that, because that is what got, you know, like, they're getting him as the name.
And to Vince's credit, he knew Styles would be over with the fans.
I think they're renting the, like, they're getting, like, anything that they make, they're making money off all merchandise from AJ Styles. But they're not, they don't keep the rights to the name.
No. People can correct me if I'm wrong on this. I believe it's in AJ's contract where if he leaves WWE, or when his contract is up, he still retains the rights to his name, and he can wrestle anywhere else using AJ Styles. So
yeah,
it's very rare that Vince McMahon does this.
Yeah, it's
because WWE is one of those places where, like,
our way, they're very our way or the highway.
For perfect example, the Dudley Boys, they made their name for themselves in ECW way before WWE. They came into WWE with the name the Dudley Boys, and in their contracts, WWE said, we now own the rights to the Dudley Boys, and if you wrestle anywhere else, you can't use the Dudley Boys, hence why they became Team 3D and TNA. But everyone knows this already. This is for mostly for the people who don't understand it. I love what AJ Styles has been doing. I love what the match between Styles and Reigns, great match at Payback. Cool story, bro, in the chat room is saying, am I the only one who thinks Monday Night showed a possible future turn for Reigns? Not the only one, sir. We will get to that later.
We will. That's actually a point that I mentioned in the prep for Raw. So we'll get
there. Big point. So continuing with Payback recap,
Payback recap. The pre-show, the matches were not bad. Like we'll go through those quickly because we already showed the only thing worthwhile from the pre-show, Ryback's entrance.
Payback.
Yeah, we'll go to the main show. Now, Enzo and Cass versus the Vaudevillains. I think we all thought Enzo and Cass were going to win, or we might have been split on that last week. So the match ended prematurely because this happened. Enzo's whipped in there, and bam!
Man, wow! Did you see the talk about whiplash?
An ugly bump. Like, all right. So for those, now he did just basically whip into the ropes, and I think Enzo is supposed to like baseball slide out, but he kind of hit the second rope, and then it slingshot his body down to the canvas, and his head hit the apron area, which like the outer edge of the mat in the ring, which is considered the worst part that like to have that happen on, because it's widely considered the hardest part and the least forgiving part of the mat.
Well, here we go. Here's what happened in real time with Enzo Amore.
To make it to the finals of this tournament now, one match away.
I don't know if you heard that, but you heard the bump.
Yeah. That was an ugly... Seriously.
Finals of this tournament now. One match away.
Oh.
Man, wow.
Did you see the way that Amore took off?
And then just and Cass knew right away. He's out. I mean, we're trying not to.
Simon Gotch didn't realize and try to like pick him up, too. Like that awkward moment.
Like we. You watch UFC. If anyone watches UFC has seen a big knockout,
that's what Enzo looked like.
If you can look, for those of you listening on the audio only podcast, check out the video because you can look in Amore's face right here.
Watch
and you can just look in his eye. That is a cold, dead stare. He is out cold, and Cass knew it. He immediately ran over to his partner's side.
Watch Rampage knockout Liddell. That's what Enzo's body looked like.
Bottom rope. And he may be out. And Gotch
was trying
to take advantage here. And the official doing his job, separating Gotch from Amore. And Amore looks like he may be out.
Oh, man.
Oh, he was. Oh, God. I was like, all right, that's got to be a concussion.
And it ended up being just that.
Oh, yeah, that
like, he was knocked. Look at how Enzo's breathing.
Call for some medical personnel and some
when he was knocked out, like that had to be a concussion.
Enzo Amore,
he's out right there, and look at
so
Cass.
Hard.
He's getting
face first,
beyond emotional right now.
And then he fell to the floor.
You know what's funny though? Like Enzo, like this is a good opportunity for Cass going forward.
Here's it in slow motion.
John. Oh, Amore!
Yeah, Enzo Amore legit knocked unconscious at ringside. And what you're seeing on the video is what should happen. Like,
now I'm going to
WWE likes to incorporate their doctors in the match to further the story, but this is what happens when there is a legit serious injury.
Here's how I knew that it was a legit injury. At one point they were just focused on the commentary crew.
Oh, as soon as I didn't even need to see that. As soon as I saw his head hit the mat I heard the thud.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, if he's not knocked out right there, I'll be amazed.
Them focusing the commentary though, team with the cameras, was the final this is definitely not a bit.
And the ref stopped the match right there, so we Enzo and Cass versus the Vaudevillains, number one contender match for
no winner.
The New Day's tag team titles. Went to a no contest.
Yep. So after that, the next match was Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. They had the unenviable task of bringing the crowd back into it after that scary moment.
And they delivered tenfold.
Like I said, by the way, last week.
We said last week on the show that that was our pick for match of the night.
Yeah.
I believe we all agreed on that. Where
I had
potential to be the match of the night, and
I had proud.
It so was
I had proud smark tears the whole time. because think about it. I've seen matches of them in Ring of Honor. I've seen went back and saw indies or other indie videos of them. Then NXT. Now the main roster, It's one of those feuds that never gets old. And I'm so happy that it's probably going to play out for a while now. And part of me is like, all right, if Owens wins back the Intercontinental title, that means him and Zayn get to feud for a few months. That's my justification. But everything they did got a reaction from the crowd. Every single thing. We're punching, and they were as soon as they started rapid fire punching, the crowd was blew up. The last time I saw a crowd eat up every little thing someone did was the Shield. It's the last time I saw that happen. He's speechless.
I was really just blown away by how good that match was. It definitely was not Zayn Nakamura good, but it was really, really good.
It was a fantastic match, though.
I gotta be honest, the entire card, top to bottom, was great. Apart from the Amore concussion, we can't help when a legit injury happens, but every single match delivered tenfold on Payback, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I enjoyed Payback more than WrestleMania. There.
Yeah.
I said it.
I could agree with that.
The card was stronger. The matches were stronger. The build was stronger.
Yep.
And the talent was stronger.
Yeah.
Every single thing about Payback was better than WrestleMania 32.
So we had the Zayn Owens match. Owens has a promo after the match where he forces Saxton to ask him questions and then says, F it, I'll do my own promo anyway.
Right.
And talk about how he's coming back for the Intercontinental title. And then during that match, Owens is just doing amazing commentary the whole time. Like talking about how Michael Cole's talking is making him vomit, and like I said earlier,
Owens is a master at getting under people's skin. Cool Soy Bro in the chat room. I assume you're talking about my point.
Who would disagree with that?
I don't know because I'm the voice of reason.
No, you're not.
Who would disagree with me? I really don't know.
So the Intercontinental match happens. It's Cesaro versus Miz.
Cool story, bro. By the way, not a high bar there by WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It was a very predictable, and aside from maybe like one or two matches, like everything else was, all right. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't as magical or special as WrestleMania 30 or 31.
So we got two first-time listeners, Cool Story Bro and Lady Dame. That's cool. We're building it.
Why, thank you.
Thank you, guys. So, yeah, so the Intercontinental match happens, and Miz beats Cesaro, but they did it in a way that protects both guys.
Yes.
Because Cesaro had Miz tapping, but Miz had to do like a cheap like roll-up bit, like win because of a distraction.
Dare I say this, Mike? I thoroughly enjoyed a Miz match. I actually enjoyed watching a Miz match.
To be fair, though, he was facing Cesaro.
I mean, okay.
To be fair.
For new listeners, Falcone here is a big... To say he's a big fan of Cesaro would be an understatement. Just like it would be saying, like, if I were to say I'm a big Undertaker fan, yeah, that would be a huge understatement. But even if Miz was wrestling Zack Ryder, for instance...
Zack Ryder's been a lot better lately, I think.
He's been getting better. Yeah. Miz has been getting better. I've actually enjoyed the build-up to this. Cesaro 007 came out, and they had a great match. And with Owens on commentary, are you kidding me? I have not laughed that hard in my life. And not to mention my girlfriend, who is just starting to get into wrestling. She came with me to a friend of ours as we watched the whole show. She was laughing her ass off at Kevin Owens on commentary. And the match before that, she was like, this match is really good, meaning... Yeah. Owens and Zayn. So she's starting to understand like where like, it's, like
yeah,
where, she's getting it. And I'm very happy as a boyfriend here, but that's besides the point. I was enjoying a Miz match. I love what the Miz has been doing on Raw the past few weeks leading up to Payback. I liked the match with Cesaro, and I like what's going to happen in the future. Because
now here's how the match ended for those who don't know, since we were talking about it. During the match, Cesaro had Miz at one point in the crossface, but Sami Zayn came out to attack Kevin Owens. So the ref was distracted by that. The Miz like kind of does it like a tights-filled roll-up to Cesaro and gets the win. That's going to set up a...
hopefully a triple threat.
Yeah, no.
Or a fatal four-way. Owens, Zayn, Cesaro, Miz.
Which, again, like the Intercontinental title in this 45 minutes looks so much more valuable than it did 3 weeks ago.
Dare I say that the Miz and the mid-card talent with the IC title is building up the IC title?
No, you can say that because they are.
I mean, who would have thought, Mike, WrestleMania 27, not that far long ago, the Miz was walking into WrestleMania as the WWE champion. Then, after Cena'd him, the Miz was in horrendous, like obscure, mediocre rivalries, and it's not like he just started doing this I'm Hollywood so I'm better than you shtick. He's been doing it for years, but now for some reason we're all captivated to watch. I want to see the Miz get his ass kicked every week.
Yeah, and like if they were going to keep it as a one-on-one feud, I was like, all right, Cesaro's winning the title at Extreme Rules. Now, anything can happen. I think Miz is dropping the title at Extreme Rules, but you can make an argument for all three of the other guys in the match. Like, Owens or Zayn winning it, that gives more to their feud. Cesaro winning it, someone who's finally due for something like that.
If there's anybody in WWE that deserves a major title push, it's Cesaro.
You know what, though? Like, well, you know, be like my great long-term prediction is one day Owens wins the world title and then him and Zayn feuding for the WWE title.
I think from a smarky wrestling fan perspective, I think that would be the most perfect thing ever, but we'll wait and see what WWE does with this. Either way, I'm watcher and a fan, I'm captivated to watch.
I just like that they're putting effort into storylines across the board now. Like, not just three, like, Intercontinental title, tag titles have their own storylines that are working well. The Divas, the main storyline, Charlotte basically having Ric Flair there as...
Oh, my God. Yeah, before we get into the final two segments.
Jericho Ambrose is getting some love to the storyline there. That's not even factoring in Gallows versus and Anderson versus the Usos, which intertwines with the world title feud, and so much other stuff going on. Plus, now they're developing Darren Young with the Make Darren Great thing.
Make Darren Great Again. If that's not a Donald Trump looking sounding promo, I don't know what is. By the way,
Cool Story Bro says Fatal 4-Way. I think, though, I want to punch the Miz in the face when he cowers in fear under Maryse.
Yeah, but that's what heels are supposed to do. Heels are supposed to want you to punch them in the face and boo them and call them cowards or whatever and hide behind their most wonderfully attracted wives. So the Miz is doing his job. If you're watching the Miz and hoping he gets his ass kicked or want to punch him, he's doing his job.
Yeah, he's doing his job. Like, just like Kevin Owens. Like, you heard about the story of someone threatening him on Twitter, right?
I did not.
Someone like, oh, about him stepping on the U.S. title. That's like stepping on the flag. You better watch yourself.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to get politically for just a second, I mean, look.
If we can be serious for a minute.
Yeah. If we're going to Lance Storm this for a second here, there's crazy people on both sides of the spectrum, wherever you lean. But look, wrestling and pro wrestling, we all know, is a show about entertainment. The characters are supposed to do things to get your reactions. And if you're reacting to Kevin Owens stepping on the U.S. title,
he's doing his job.
He's doing his job greatly as a heel.
Well, I mean, we knew that already, though.
And you mentioned the women's championship match. Great match.
Yeah, we can pretty much skip over.
I don't think we could. We shouldn't skip over because they had...
No, not that one. I mean, we can skip over Ambrose and Jericho. Ambrose beat Jericho.
It was a good match. Ambrose defeated Jericho. Jericho doing the right thing this time around instead of at WrestleMania by
that
putting over
his,
the talent.
That wasn't his call, though.
It wasn't his call. We know.
But he put over AJ the next day because he ate the pin.
He absolutely did. Jericho's doing the right thing. And Ambrose finally might get a big singles push. We don't know.
He gets a pay-per-view win. First time in a while. Charlotte versus Natty. Now, that one had the gimmick of Charlotte's got Ric Flair in her corner. Natty's got Bret Hart in her corner. So the match was not bad. I mean, it was clunky at times. But the main thing people were talking about that match is the ending, which you can take as one of two ways. One, Lil Nate helping Ric Flair's family again. For those of you WCW, people remember WCW from the 90s. Or they wanted to recreate the Montreal Screwjob.
I believe it was the latter.
I think,
or a combination of both.
Yeah, I was going to say a bit of column A, a bit of column B.
Either way, I did not like the booking here. It just ruins Charlotte's credibility as a champion. I mean, yes, I get heel with the manager walking out. You're going to cheat to win. But it seems like every single match now, Charlotte is just there's only so much of the well you can take out before it dries out. And I think the well is pretty dry right now. I think Charlotte should either win clean or lose clean. Either way, her next match needs to have a clean finish because I'm starting to get tired of Ric Flair in the corner.
Because they're going to have Ric Flair constantly like help her win, and they're going to do that so that when Sasha Banks finally beats her.
I think that's what they're pulling towards.
I think that's going to happen at SummerSlam.
If we're going to have long-term predictions here, yeah, I believe Charlotte loses the title at SummerSlam. I also believe that if they're reinvigorating the women's division, they should have a lengthy champion, and they should only lose it at the really big pay-per-views. If they're going to really legitimize the women's championship, they have to do it right, and they can't change hands every pay-per-view. But the match itself between Natalya and Charlotte, it was a great match. And we also got a little mark-out moment with Natalya and Bret Hart doing the sharpshooter to Charlotte and Ric Flair, respectively, at the same time in the ring. That was a great thing to see.
Yeah.
Before the main event, Vince McMahon came out with his big reveal of
big announcement
with who gets control of Monday Night Raw. And before we get to the actual reveal, because they were in Chicago, and we said last week, Chicago, Philadelphia, and New York are the three cities where you're going to have the most hostile fans in the world to see. And Chicago is also home to one CM Punk.
Yep.
And CM Punk is like a god in Chicago.
Yeah, he is.
So what happens when Vince McMahon, the person who sent termination papers on CM Punk's wedding day, what happens when he comes in front of a hostile Chicago crowd?
Well, actually, like, from all accounts, Vince was trying to, like, get CM Punk to come back. Like, he
still has the final say of, like, when shit goes out.
I know. He's the enabler when it comes to, like, people having a dispute with them. Like, that's why Shawn Michaels got away with so much. So I think people who thought Punk was coming back thought it would be because Vince would coddle him a bit. But no, here's Vince on TV reacting.
Lady Dame, by the way, saving it for Sasha. Yeah.
And then I put my pointing downward saying, said by so many IWC smarks.
Yeah, absolutely. Rightfully so. Like, Sasha is the next champion. Just a matter of when. So here's Vince McMahon handling
the saving it part, because, you know, a lot of them, like, she's a favorite.
Here we go. Here's Vince McMahon handling a hostile CM Punk happy crowd.
So successful is because it's been able to morph, it's been able to change through the times, it's reinvented
loud
itself
CM Punk chants
over and over again.
Loud, overwhelming CM Punk.
I wonder how long you can go with this thing.
The answer is all night, Vince. They can do this all day, Vince.
All day, every day.
Vince, how long can you do this? All day.
They don't get hype. They stay hype.
Come on, you got more than that. Come on.
You know, to his credit, Vince McMahon encouraging the crowd.
Vince has balls.
I mean, I'm not going to deny Vince McMahon's testicular fortitude here. So here we go. Here is the big announcement with Vince McMahon and his kids, Shane and Stephanie. We are... let me get the clip queued up here. But the angle going into this is, who is Vince McMahon going to let run Monday Night Raw? Shane or Stephanie, and therefore Steph and Triple H. So here we go.
Figuratively speaking, I want blood.
He looks so creepy.
I want blood,
but I want it now.
I want to see you both slit each other's throat. I want to see you both disembowel each other. That's what I want to see. Or there could be a collaborative effort of some kind that might be the best for Raw, might even be best for the family. I don't know. All I know is this is going to be entertaining because you both have equal say and you both are running Monday Night Raw. Go figure it out.
Just like that, Vince McMahon hands control of Monday Night Raw to both Shane and Stephanie, 50-50 partners.
50-50.
And what happens on the Monday Night Raw following Payback?
We'll get to that.
A very watchable show.
Yeah. So that happened, and the main event was next, which one of Roman Reigns' better matches. Because when you put Roman Reigns in with a guy who knows what the fuck he's doing, good things happen. Like, someone who can carry Reigns. That's where he's kind of like a Cena.
Yeah, the only thing is Cena actually can
Cena
perform better. The difference is I would watch... I can't believe I'm going to say is I would rather watch a John Cena match than a Roman Reigns match. You put AJ Styles in the ring with Cena, it's going to be a 5-star match. Because we all remember what happened when CM Punk wrestled Cena all those times. 5-star matches. AJ Styles can have a match with anybody. And Reigns still looked like shit.
Well, I mean, when
AJ Styles did all the carrying this match, let's at least agree on that.
When the
part.
Person you're in the ring with is phenomenal, I mean, come on.
I love shooing in the pun. So here we go. Here's the thing that we like to do here on Brain Sea Wrestling. We like to just show you guys the overwhelming boos that Roman Reigns has.
So, hey, this is the guy. We're going to say he's the guy. They're going to cheer him like a hero.
Look, come on. His music didn't even start, and they're booing.
Are they chanting for Bo Dallas?
Oh, I love Chicago fans. They're so mean.
Listen to that raucous ovation for Roman Reigns.
And again, we've said before here on the show, WWE edits the crowd noise before they post the shows
out. So if it's that loud, and there,
they could not drown these boos out.
If Vince is sitting there like, they're cheering him so loud, let's have him keep him for 435 days.
Oh, man, Roman Reigns. I'm repeating myself again. I like Roman Reigns. I mean, if you were in Roman Reigns' position, what would you do? Lady Dame, cool story, bro. You are a newcomer to the main roster in WWE. Vince McMahon pulls you aside and says, I'm giving you the title and you're going to be my guy.
You take it.
You're not ready, and even if you can't do it,
because
if
you say you're not ready, that's how you get buried. Because that's something that doesn't go well with Vince. If he goes, hey, I'm going to push you to the top, people on the internet are saying I'm not ready, it's probably not going to take. What will happen is he'll give it to the next guy. So, now the match is really good. The only thing was that it stopped a lot. Like, there was very start-stop. Like, there was the DQ finish, the count-out finish, and then...
And then Shane Stephanie came out one by one and restarted a match. Yeah. I don't know about you, Mike, but
That killed the flow a bit.
It killed the motivation of the match for me. I didn't like it because, above all else, if roles were reversed and they did this to screw over the fan favorite...
Yeah.
The internet and everything
would have just been like, what the fuck?
Everybody would be losing their marbles right now. But because it was unfair to Reigns, everyone's still upset that AJ didn't get the title. Wrestling fans everywhere have to admit that there's a little bit of a double standard when it comes to unfair booking from the officials, the finishes of the match. There has to be...
It was two starts. It was very start-stop.
But when there actually wasn't horrible booking happening, the match between AJ Styles and Roman Reigns proved that Reigns can deliver in a big-time match, even though Styles was carrying him throughout the whole thing. I mean, everyone who watched the match, I mean, you can easily see that Styles is the way better talent.
Yeah.
Although, I will be honest, Reigns taking the... when my spot of the night for me, Mike... Reigns in front of the announce table, Styles doing the phenomenal forearm outside of the ring through the table.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Spot of the night by far.
That was such a good spot.
And I was like, wow. You know,
Styles,
respect to Reigns there because he wasn't laying on the table. He took the bump on the table, expecting the table to break behind him, and he could have had some serious damage with his back if the table didn't go.
So could you imagine, by the way, AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins when he comes back?
I just can't wait till Rollins comes back and yeah. that massive pop. It's going to be, figure this way.
Brum.
To me, the biggest pop of an injured star returning was Triple H in 2002.
Rollins is going to have a bigger pop.
Rollins is going to have Triple H and O2 level pop yeah. when he comes back.
So, quick question about Reigns, and then we'll talk about, like, you know what? We'll skip, like, by the way, Raw. I mean, there was some good stuff with the IC title build, a really good Cesaro Owens match. You know, the tag title build, that poor plant being destroyed by Jericho over Ambrose's head, the Darren Young thing. We'll focus on Roman Reigns though, because there's a couple things to take out of that. Now, Cool Story Bro asked, how much of it is Reigns' fault versus how WWE is using him? He can be solid at times. I will give him that. He's very, you've got to use him in a specific role. They're pretty much using him in a very diesel role, which everyone who's been on here and it's mentioned has said it's a good way they're going. They're just being way too repetitive with the promos. So, that's one thing. So a lot of it is WWE's fault and how they're using him. They thrust him in too early. Now they're in a situation where they had to keep him there, especially with all the injuries. So they, you know, they can't, you know, they've got to work with it. They've got to do something. Now there was an earlier question about Roman Reigns in the chat. That question being, if we thought that what happened Monday was kind of the precursor for a Roman Reigns heel turn. For those of you who did not watch, I will explain what happened. So Gallows and Anderson, so there was a six-man tag match, AJ and basically Bullet Club versus the Busos, we'll call it.
The Busos. That's it. From now on, hashtag Busos. I'm going to use that every single time I watch Raw now. That's good. I like it. The Busos.
So
I actually have video of the end of Raw if we want to play that. But you know, as I cue it up, you...
So what happened was eventually Gallows and Anderson had Roman Reigns laid out and gave AJ Styles a chair to attack Reigns with. And AJ was playing the good guy. Now, he put the chair down.
Let's settle it with fists, not use weapons. Let's not cheat. Let's have an honorable match.
The Usos came in and attacked Styles with a chair. And then, you know, got rid of the Gallows and Anderson. So AJ Styles very much looked like the face, and Roman Reigns and the Usos very much looked like heels. What I think they should do is have it where it's two factions, and Reigns and the Usos are heel.
I'm sorry, you said it wrong. Reigns and the Busos. Oh, yeah.
The Busos. That's Reigns and the Usos is Busos.
Oh, okay. That's a new faction name. Good.
Yeah. So I think they're going to call it the family, but it should be a three-person stable, Reigns and the Usos, and they're heels. Clean up the Usos. Make them look very, like, corporate-y. Like, or, like, suits and tied back hair like that as, like, the enforcers for Reigns. Like, the guys who help him out with the matches.
Right.
And then it can be a war with like him and them in the Bullet Club. That would be a very good way to take. They should turn him heel. His persona works best as a heel. It's got to be a heel first before it'll become popular as a face.
So I have a clip of this is how Monday Night Raw went off the air this past Monday. And I forget who said in the chat room a while ago. Strong finish for Roman Reigns.
Gotta make him look strong.
I completely agree that with that point. This was a humongous finish for Reigns.
What right after Styles? Gallows and Anderson. And now Styles has had it up. And he
So Styles gets the chair.
I forgot about that part.
Smacks the Busos, and then Reigns, playing it perfectly, is now like foaming at the mouth, mad, seeing Styles assault his cousins with a chair. And I think here's the catalyst for Reigns turning heel. And to Reigns' credit, you know, he was literally spitting up the drool too to just look like he's an out of control lunatic. And a face champion does not do that.
Yeah.
The face does not set up the monitors to plow someone through a table.
And again, Styles.
Thank you. Cool story, bro. Most personality Roman Reigns has had all year.
Yeah.
I've been saying for a while, if WWE lets Reigns say the things he says on TV the way he does on Twitter, Reigns would be an amazing heel.
Yeah.
So there you go. Here's the end of Monday Night Raw.
Watch out.
Roman Reigns! Oh, my goodness! Crashing through the table!
And to Reigns' credit, he still kept that stare.
That's going to be the precursor to him turning heel. It's eight, and it's
just a soul clap for Roman Reigns.
It's perfect with AJ Styles because he right now is so beloved. I mentioned earlier, Vince wasn't really that sold on him early on when he came in the WWE earlier this year. He's sold so much merchandise. Rumor has it that he just now, whenever AJ Styles is on TV, Vince just looks and smiles.
That's a huge praise.
Huge praise. So we had to skim through Raw because we had a pay-per-view to talk about, but we'll do a question of the week before we head out. What's the worst injury that you saw either on TV or at a wrestling event?
Sid Vicious jumping off the turnbuckle and his leg snapping right there.
Since you said that one, I'm going to go with one that I saw in person.
That's a lot. Oh, the worst I've seen in person? I really don't know.
All right, so
that's the worst injury I've ever seen in wrestling. YouTube it yourself if you have a strong stomach, because you literally see his leg go right there.
Yeah. We didn't see it on TV, but there was the Owen Hart thing that we could talk about, or like Austin's neck injury. There's a couple ones, but I'm going to go with one that I saw in person. It's not a bone-breaking injury. It was a misguided chair shot. So, I think I might have mentioned this story before. I went to years ago when I was in high school, I went to a high school show. And Balls Mahoney was in the show. And so, Balls hits the ref. The chair doesn't hit the right part of the head. The ref's head suddenly becomes like a red geyser.
Oh, okay, if we're talking blade jobs,
this was not a blade job. It was a misplaced chair shot that hit the wrong spot of the head.
Oh, okay. He didn't even blade there.
No.
So, if we're talking that, the worst in WWE, at least, the worst blade job I've ever seen. By that I mean the bloodiest.
Yeah.
Is Judgment Day 2004, JBL and Eddie Guerrero, and what happened was, as Guerrero was blading himself, he cut too deep and sliced an artery.
Ooh.
And it just went... It looks like a Tarantino movie from him. And to his credit, and forever respect, he still continued fighting JBL for a good 20 minutes after that, when any normal man would have been unconscious right there.
I would have passed the fuck out.
So those are some of the worst scenes we've seen. All right, wrapping up here, 30 seconds, Mike. Hipster Punchy on Twitter. Where are you going to be performing?
I'll be Slaughter Stand Up Comedy Tournament June 17th. That's a Friday in Sloatsburg, New York.
And I am not performing stand-up comedy because I just don't do it. But you can follow me at Hams Gruber on Twitter and Snapchat. I'm all about the snaps right now. This is Brain Steel Wrestling. Thanks for listening, guys. Good night. They won't run, no. They won't